Oh, hallelujah. All right. Mark chapter 5. Let's look there tonight. Mark chapter 5. Praise God. Bless you. Hallelujah. Mark chapter 5, verse 25. It says, "Now a certain woman had a flow of blood for 12 years and had suffered many things from many physicians. She had spent all that she had and was no better, but rather grew worse. When she heard about Jesus, she came behind him in the crowd and touched his garment. For she said, 'If only I may touch his clothes, I shall be made well.' Immediately the fountain of her blood was dried up, and she felt in her body that she was healed of the affliction. And Jesus, immediately knowing in himself that power had gone out of him, turned around in the crowd and said, 'Who touched my clothes?' But his disciples said to him, 'You see the multitude thronging you, and you say, "Who touched me?" And he looked around to see her who had done this thing. But the woman, fearing and trembling, knowing what had happened to her, came and fell down before him and told him the whole truth. And he said to her, 'Daughter, your faith has made you well. Go in peace and be healed of your affliction.'" Whenever we see the peace of God, Jesus ministering peace to that woman right there. "Go in peace," he said, "and be healed of your affliction." But he told her, he said, "Daughter, your faith has made you well. Your faith has made you well." Well, I want to submit to you tonight that if her faith made her well, then your faith can make you well. We know that God is no respecter of persons, right? Amen. And we know that if her faith can make her well, then our faith can make us well. Amen? So that's what I want to talk about tonight. Your faith will make you whole. It'd be good if you just said that. Just say, "My faith can make me whole." Say, "My faith does make me whole. My faith in the Word of God. My faith in the Lord Jesus Christ. And the work that he did for me. He took my infirmities. He bore my sicknesses. With his stripes, I was healed. I believe that. My faith makes me whole." Praise God. So let's look at this, though. And you know, this scripture is given to us as an example. So if her faith can make her whole, then our faith can make us whole. If we do what she did, if we follow the steps that she followed, and that's why it's written out in here for us. That's why the Holy Spirit inspired Mark to write these things down, so we could get a hold of this, and so we could be inspired and instructed, and so we could do the same thing she did and have it work for us. Amen? So let's see what she did. Well, the first thing she did, we found out in verse number 27, it says, "When she heard about Jesus." When she heard about Jesus. So the first thing that she did was she heard, wasn't it? She heard. She heard something. She heard about Jesus. And obviously she heard that he was healing people. Because what she heard motivated her to say something. It motivated her to say, "If I touch his clothes, I shall be made whole." Amen? So she must have heard that he was healing. So she heard a true report about Jesus. See, the problem is a lot of times people have heard a wrong report about Jesus. They've heard a false report about Jesus. They've heard a distorted report about Jesus. And so we have to make sure that we are hearing a true report about Jesus. Where do we find that? We find that in the Word of God. A lot of times folks mix in scripture and tradition and man's ideas. And then when someone doesn't receive, then they mix in, "Well, you know, yeah, I know the Bible says that, but." But you're not responsible for what somebody else did. You're responsible for taking the Word of God and applying it to your life. Amen? Hallelujah. So number one, she heard about Jesus. She heard a true report about Jesus. So we're going to come back to Mark 5 there in a minute, but go with me to Romans 10 and look at something with me in Romans chapter 10. About hearing and about this process. It's a process that begins with hearing. Everybody say, it's a process. Amen. It's a process that begins with hearing. In Romans 10, verse 13, it says, "For whoever calls on the name of the Lord shall be saved." Now, in this passage that we're going to read, we're going to read the next couple of verses, or 13 and 14 here, we see a process, and we actually see it in reverse. We see the end of the process. The end of the process is, whoever calls on the name of the Lord shall be saved. Well, we could substitute without changing the meaning. In fact, the word "save" there means it includes healing as well. We could say, whoever calls on the name of the Lord shall be healed. And you're not changing that. You're not changing the meaning of that at all, because that's the word salvation there, the word "save" there includes healing. And so whoever calls on the name of the Lord shall be healed. Then verse 14, how shall they call on him in whom they have not believed? So in order to call on him to be healed, you have to believe. The only way that you can call on him is by believing. You have to believe first. If you don't believe, you won't call. If you don't believe that Jesus is your healer, you won't call on him to heal you. Amen? So you have to believe. And then he says, and how shall they believe in him of whom they have not heard? So in order to believe, you have to what? You have to hear. And then he says, and how shall they hear without a preacher? And he goes on in 15 and talks more about that, but we won't take time to look at that. But skip down to verse 17. Verse 17 says, so then faith comes by hearing, and hearing by the word of God. Faith comes by hearing, and hearing by the word of God. So faith doesn't come just by hearing anything, but faith does come by hearing one thing, and that's the word of God. Faith comes when I hear the word of God. Amen? Hallelujah. And then he talked about believing. Well, faith and believe, that's the same thing. When we say faith and when we say believe, we're talking about the same thing. He says, so faith comes by hearing, and hearing by the word of God. And then when we hear, then we can believe. Because faith comes, then we have the capacity then to believe. And when we're believing, then we can call. And when we call, we shall be saved or healed. Amen. That's the process. So the process is hear, believe, call, and be healed. Will you say it with me? Hear, believe, call, be healed. Amen. Whosoever, he says back in verse 13, whoever. So this will work for anybody. That's what I love about the word of God. It works for anybody. Amen. It works for anybody. God is not exclusive. As I said earlier, he is no respecter of persons. His word will work for anybody and everybody. Amen. Don't let the devil tell you you're disqualified or it won't work for you. It will work for you. Amen. God's word will work for you. Praise God. Amen. And so to call upon him, as I said, to call upon him as your healer, you must believe that he's your healer. And then to believe that he's your healer, you must hear about him. Like that woman with the issue of blood did, she heard something about Jesus. And she must have heard that he was healing. So you have to hear about him. And here's what you have to hear. You have to hear the truth. You have to hear a true report about Jesus. These two elements have to be present. And these two elements are present in a true report about Jesus and his healing power. These two elements are this: his willingness to heal and his ability to heal. Amen? Not only is Jesus willing to heal us, he's able to heal us. Not only is he able to heal us, he's willing to heal us. You know, the leper came to Jesus one day and he said, Lord, if you're willing, you can make me clean. He knew about his ability, but he wasn't sure about his willingness. And Jesus, the Bible says, he didn't just tell him, and he didn't put on a rubber glove, you know. He didn't put on a mask. You know, he didn't put on one of those hazmat suits. That's it. That's what I was thinking. He didn't put on a hazmat suit. He reached out and touched this leper, this guy that had this horribly contagious disease. He reached out and touched him, and he said, I'm willing, be cleansed. And not only did he demonstrate his willingness, But Jesus also demonstrated this. He said, you know what? He said, what I've got working in me is more powerful than what the devil has working in you. And what I've got working in me, I'm going to put some of it on you. And it's going to drive out what the devil's had working in you. Amen? Thank God. And you know, that's what we have. Now you let the Lord lead you to lay hands on somebody that's got leprosy or whatever. But we can. Amen? Glory to God. And we should. Praise the Lord. Hallelujah. So, back to the woman with the issue of blood. We'll go back there in Mark chapter 5. The first thing she did, number one, what'd she do? She heard, right? She heard about Jesus. And then the second thing she did, if we look, put verse 28 back up there, roll Mark 5, 28. There we go. The second thing she did, well, go back to 27. Let's go back to 27. When she heard about Jesus, she came behind him in the crowd and touched his garment. Now verse 28. For she said, if only I may touch his clothes, I shall be made well. So the first thing that she did was she heard. And when she heard, faith came. When she heard, faith came. And then the second thing she did, now it looks like it from the verse that she came, but it's kind of, if you read it through there like we just did, you see that this really the second thing she did. Mark says, when she heard, she came, but then he inserts in, for she said. So we know the saying happened before she came, right? All right. So the first thing that happened was she heard, and then she began to say. What'd she begin to say? If I touch his clothes, I shall be made whole. If only I may touch his clothes, I shall be made well. She started saying that. If only I may touch his clothes, I shall be made well. So she must have heard that people were touching his clothes and being healed. She said, you know what? If others can do it, it'll happen for me. If only I touch his clothes, I shall be made well. Amen. She believed that. She believed that she was a whosoever. Amen. And then the third thing that happened is she got up and she came to Jesus. Back in verse 27 there then, it says she heard, for when she heard about Jesus, she came behind him in the crowd and touched his garment. That was really the third thing. She heard, and then she began to say, and then she got up and came, or she acted on what she believed. She acted on what she believed. And then verse 29, if we go back to look at 29, it says, immediately the fountain of her blood was dried up, and she felt in her body that she was healed of the affliction. So the fourth thing that happened was she received her healing. She was made whole. So she heard, and then she began to say, and then she got up, and she came and touched. She acted. She acted on her faith. She acted on what she believed. She came and touched the hem of his garment, and then it says immediately the fountain of her blood was dried up, and she felt in her body that she was healed of the affliction. So I want to talk a minute about so the process here then for her then is hear, believe, say, and do. Let's say that together. Hear, believe, say, do. Let's say it again. Hear, believe, say, do. Think about your life. Think about what you need to receive from God. And folks, what we're talking about tonight, it works for healing, or it works for anything that you need. It's not just limited. These are principles of faith that will work in any area in your life. So hearing, believing, saying, and doing. Think about your life. How can you apply this? How can you apply these steps in your life and in your situation? Amen. Because God wants you to receive everything Jesus paid for and purchased. Amen? So I want to spend a few moments talking about the importance of saying. That's so important, such an important step that she took. It says she said something. She said, if I touch his clothes, I shall be made well. Praise God. So let's look at that. Mark 11, verse 12. Mark 11, verse 12. It says, now the next day, when they had come out from Bethany, he was hungry. And seeing from afar a fig tree having leaves, this is Jesus now they're talking about, he went to see if perhaps he would find something on it. When he came to it, he found nothing but leaves, for it was not the season for figs. In response, Jesus said to it, get that now. In response, Jesus said to it, what was the it that he said to? A fig tree. Jesus talked to a tree. Jesus, well, Pastor, I wouldn't want to do that. I mean, people would think I was crazy. Jesus talked to a tree. Jesus talked to a tree. In response, Jesus said to it, let no one eat fruit from you ever again. Let no one eat fruit from you ever again. All right. And then verse 20, it says, now in the morning, as they passed by, and the Bible, I think that verse 14, I missed saying that, but it says that his disciples heard him say that. They observed that. And when we get down to verse 20, it says, now in the morning, as they passed by, they saw the fig tree dried up from where? From the roots. Why did it dry up from the roots? Because Jesus talked to it. Because Jesus spoke to it. And Jesus said to it and said, let no one eat fruit from you ever again. Do you think if Jesus could talk to a fig tree, that you could talk to a sickness or a disease or a growth or a tumor in your body and command it and say, you wither and die in the name of Jesus? Amen? Do you think that you could talk to your body and talk to parts in your body that are not working properly and say, I command you to work properly. I command you to function in the way that God created you to function. Amen. So Jesus, in verse 20, in the morning as they passed by, they saw the fig tree dried up from the roots. And Peter, remembering, said to him, Rabbi, look, the fig tree which you cursed has withered away. You know, like Gomer Pyle. Golly. Shazam. I mean, we're just getting all of it. Last week it was the Beverly Hillbillies. Tonight it's Gomer Pyle. All right, so. Last week, Noel and Linda, we were talking about the cement pond. Remember the cement pond on the Beverly Hillbillies? We were likening that to the pool of Bethesda. So I better not go down that road again. We'll lose the crowd. But Peter said, Rabbi, look, golly, Jesus, look at what you did. The fig tree that you cursed has withered away. So Jesus answered and said to him, yeah, I'm something else, ain't I, Peter? Is that what he said? No. So Jesus answered and said to them, have faith in God. And the understood subject is you. You have faith in God. For assuredly I say to you, whoever. Everybody say whoever. Does that include you? I'm a whoever, aren't you? King James says whosoever. I kind of like whosoever better. That sounds a little more inclusive, doesn't it? Whosoever. All right. So Jesus said, have faith in God, for assuredly I say to you, whoever says to this mountain, be removed and be cast into the sea, and does not doubt in his heart, but believes that those things he says will be done, he will have whatever he says. So Jesus will say, look, it's not just for me. It will not work just for Jesus. It'll work for whoever. It'll work for whosoever. Amen? Will that work for you? Won't you say it'll work for me? Amen. And it won't just work on a fig tree. Jesus said it would work for a mountain, but not only a fig tree or a mountain, but he said this, whoever says to the mountain, be removed. Let's go back to 23 there. You were good. Be removed and cast in the sea, does not doubt in his heart, but believes that those things he says will be done. He'll have whatever he says. So it'll work for whoever on whatever. Amen. It'll work for whoever and it'll work on whatever. Amen. But look at what he says here. Who's there in verse 23? For surely I say to you, whoever what? Whoever says to this mountain, be removed and be cast into the sea. So what are you doing? You're saying something to the mountain. The mountain represents what? The mountain represents the problem. The mountain represents the sickness. The mountain represents the pain or the growth or whatever it may be, or the debt. If it's your finances, the mountain represents the debt, or whatever it may be that needs to move out of the way, that needs to change. Jesus said, talk to it. Say something to it. Say, whoever says to this mountain, be removed and be cast into the sea, and does not doubt in his heart, but believes, but does what? Believes what? Well, believes in God? Well, we should believe in God. Believes the Bible? Well, we should believe the Bible. No, this is something very specific. Whoever believes what? That those things he says will be done. That's what we have to believe. We believe that the things we say will be done. In other words, we believe in our words. We believe that the things we say will be done. Now, again, you know, you can take this to an extreme, and sometimes people get bent out of shape, saying, well, you think you're just operating on this without God. And no, certainly God's in the middle of it. Amen? So we're not operating without God. And when we say, you know, your faith can make you whole, well, it's not your faith apart from God, obviously. You know, our faith without God, there is no faith. Amen? He's the author. Jesus is the author and finisher of our faith. So certainly we're including him. But then right on the other hand, we're not sitting around waiting on him to do something. He said, don't wait for me to move the mountain for you. You talk to it. You speak to it. You say. And you believe that the things you say will be done. Amen. So you know what that means too? That means we have to work on being people of our word, don't we? Amen. So if we don't keep our word, then when we say to a mountain, be removed and be cast into the sea, a problem, a situation, then we're not going to have faith that it's going to happen if we don't keep our word in other areas. You know, it got quiet in here on that one, didn't it? But that's true, though, isn't it? Amen? So we have to be people of our word. But he tells us, here's how faith works. He said, this is not just for me. This is not just, I didn't do this just to show off, guys, but I did this to illustrate the principle of faith that you can operate in. If you'll say to the mountain, if you'll speak to the problem, if you'll speak to that situation, and if you'll believe that the things you say will be done, then you'll have what you say. You'll have what you say. Well, what about the woman with the issue of blood? What'd she say? She said, if only I may touch his clothes, I shall be made well. Well, did she get that? She did, didn't she? If only I may touch his clothes, I shall be made well. Well, she had a part to play in that, didn't she? She had to get to Jesus, didn't she? She had to get to where he was at. So her faith, I like what Mark Hankin says, faith can move mountains, but the first thing faith will move is you. Amen. It got her moving. It got her moving. It got her up. And she got up and she went to where Jesus was at. And she touched the hem of his garment. And guess what? She was made well. Amen. She got exactly what she said, didn't she? Amen. And guess what? So do you. And somebody said, well, it doesn't work for me. Well, it just did. Amen. Amen. You know, we all have what we say. Amen. Amen. It might not happen at the snap of your finger, but eventually you're going to have what you're saying. Amen? All right? And so there's several examples in the Scripture. I just want to point a few of them out to you of where Jesus told people it was their faith that made them whole. Their faith that made them... See, I like that. Some people don't like that responsibility, but I like that. I mean, the ball's in my court. I'm not waiting on God to do something. He's already done something. He's already moved. He's already done something. Amen? Hallelujah. I like it. That means there's nothing that no one else that can stand in my way. There's no one else that can keep my blessing from me. God's not withholding, and no one's keeping it from me. Amen? That means I can go after it. I can believe, and I can receive everything that God has for me. Amen? Hallelujah. So look at this one, Matthew chapter 8, verse 13. Then Jesus said to the centurion, go your way, and as you have believed, so let it be done for you. Look at that. Go your way, as you have believed, so let it be done for you. How is it going to be done for him? As he believed. What was he going to get? What he believed, right? As you have believed, so let it be done for you. And what was he believing for? For his servant to be healed. It says, and his servant was healed that same hour. Matthew chapter 9, verse 29. These are two blind men that came to Jesus. And he says, then he touched their eyes, saying, according to your faith, let it be to you. According to whose faith? According to God's will? No. According to your faith. According to your faith, let it be to you. What can you believe God for? What can you believe him for? That's the only place that God is limited in our lives. He's only limited by what we can believe him for. Amen? Praise God. Look at Matthew 15, 28. This is a Syrophoenician woman that Jesus is talking to. They had come to Jesus and ask him to heal her daughter. And that's the one where Jesus said, it's not good to take the children's bread and throw it to the dogs. And she said, yes, Lord. But even the dogs get the crumbs that fall from the master's table. And this is what Jesus said in response to that. Then Jesus answered and said to her, O woman, great is your faith. Let it be to you as you desire. Let it be to you as you desire. Amen. That's what Jesus is saying to you tonight. Let it be to you as you desire. What do you want? What do you desire? In fact, that's the next thing he said in Mark 11 there when he was teaching them on faith. He talked about saying in Mark 11, 23, believing and saying. Verse 24 says, therefore I say to you, what things ever you desire when you pray, believe you receive them, and you'll have them. What do you want? He said, let it be to you as you desire. Amen? He said in John 15, if you abide in me and my words abide in you, then you will ask what you desire and it'll be done for you. Amen? Hallelujah. So let it be to you, great is your faith, let it be to you as you desire. He wants to give you what you desire. Amen? Praise the Lord. Mark chapter 9, verse 23. It's a man that came to Jesus for the healing of his son, or for his son to be delivered. Jesus said to him, if you can believe, the man had said, Lord, if you can do anything, have compassion on us and help us. And here's how Jesus responded. In essence, he was saying, it's not a matter of what I can do. That's already settled. It's a matter, can you believe? Jesus said to him, if you can believe, all things are possible to him who believes. Now we know, everybody would agree that all things are possible with God, and the Bible does say that, but the Bible also says this right here. Jesus himself said, all things are possible to him who believes. Hallelujah. So won't you make this declaration, say, I am a believer. I believe. Therefore, all things are possible to me. Amen. Glory to God. Let's say it again. All things are possible to me. Say it again. All things are possible to me. One more time. All things are possible to me. Amen. Amen. Praise God. Hallelujah. Just talk yourself into faith right there. Amen. All things are possible to him who believes. Praise God. That's why we should take impossible out of our vocabulary. Amen? Praise God. Let's look at Acts chapter 14. Acts chapter 14 and verse number 6. And let's see this pattern of hearing and believing and receiving. We see it illustrated again here. In Acts 14 and verse number 6. So we know that faith is released through our words, but faith is also released through our actions. Sometimes it's a combination. Sometimes our faith is released in word and in action. Sometimes in action, sometimes in word, sometimes a combination. So here, let's look at this example. In Acts 14, verse 6, the apostles were preaching in a certain place, and they were going to be stoned and beaten, and so they escaped. In verse 6, it says, they became aware of it and fled to Lystra and Derbe, cities of Lycaonia, and to the surrounding region, and they were preaching the gospel there. They were doing what? Preaching the gospel there, all right? And so they were in Lystra, and they were in Derbe, and the cities around there, and they were preaching the gospel. Verse 8 says, and in Lystra, a certain man without strength in his feet was sitting, a cripple from his mother's womb who had never walked. So this, he was an adult now, and he's been crippled from birth. He's never, ever walked. And he's sitting there, and it says, this man heard Paul speaking. Well, what is Paul speaking? The gospel. It says in verse 7, he was preaching the gospel. All right? So this man heard Paul speaking, Paul observing him intently and seeing that he had faith to be healed. Where'd he get that from? By hearing the gospel. So evidently the gospel that Paul preached included the message of healing. It had to. Think about this for a minute. Here's a man that's crippled from birth. He's never walked, and he hears the gospel. He hears one message, and he has faith to be healed. So evidently, the message that Paul was preaching was so positive concerning healing. It was so positive that it's God's will for you to be healed. It's God's will for all to be healed. Jesus went to the cross, and he bore our sins on the cross, and he also bore our sickness and disease on the cross, and he took the stripes on his back before he went to the cross, and in that act of taking those stripes, he bore all sickness and disease, and he arose victorious, and you can be saved if you'll call on his name, and you can be healed. Hallelujah. It had to be something like that. In order to inspire faith in this man who was crippled and had never walked. It could not have been a message that, oh, well, yeah, we believe that God can heal if it's his will. I mean, that man would have marked himself off the list first. I've been crippled from birth. I've never walked. It must not be his will for me to be healed. But that wasn't the message he heard. Amen. He had to have heard a positive, 100%. God wants you well. God wants you blessed. God wants to save you. God wants to heal you. Amen. It belongs to you. It's for whosoever. Amen. That's what he had to have heard. And he had faith to be healed. But he's still sitting there crippled. Did you ever see that? He had faith to be healed, but he's still sitting there crippled. So that faith at that point in the process, that faith hadn't done him any good. He had faith, but it hadn't done any good. It hadn't accomplished anything. Why? Because it hadn't been released. Faith has to be released. It has to be released in word. The woman with the issue of blood, when she heard about Jesus, faith came. And she started saying something. And then she did something. She said, I'm going to touch the hem of his garment. So she released her faith through her words and through her action. So here this man is. He's hearing the gospel, and he's got faith to be healed. Paul was looking at him. It says, Paul observing him. Verse 9, it says, this man heard Paul speaking. Paul observing him intently and seeing that he had faith to be healed. I don't know, you know, if it was a spiritual perception that Paul had, if he perceived in his spirit the man had faith, or maybe, I mean, the guy's eyes may have just lit up. I mean, sometimes you can just tell people are getting it. And it might have been like that. It might have been, I mean, the man might have been sitting there going, yeah, yeah, this is it. This is it, you know. And that it could have been that way. But anyway, Paul realized, hey, this man has faith to be healed. And then Paul, verse 10, it says, Paul said with a loud voice, stand up on your feet. And it startled him so, the guy just, without thinking, He jumped up on his feet, and he'd never had walked before. The Bible says that he leaped and walked. He leaped and walked. Whose faith made him well? His faith. The Bible doesn't specifically say that, but the Bible tells us that he had faith to be healed. So he wasn't healed by some special manifestation. He was healed by hearing the gospel and letting faith rise up in his heart and then releasing his faith. Paul realized the man had faith to be healed, Paul realized, I've got to do something to help him release his faith. So he said, first thing that came to him was, tell him to stand up. So he said with a loud voice, stand up on your feet. Sometimes you need to say it loud. Amen? Sometimes for your own benefit, you need to say it loud. You know, I remember hearing about Smith Wigglesworth. He was waiting at the train station one day to get on the train, and a lady was there getting ready to get on the train as well. And her little dog, I don't know if it was a little chihuahua or what it was, but her little dog had followed her to the train station, Linda. And so she's, might have been a little Pomeranian, I don't know. But anyway, she's getting ready to get on. The train's coming. You know, the train's there. They're loading. And she says, now run along, honey. Mama has to get on the train. Run on. Go back home. Mama's got to get on the train. Little dogs are going, you know, it didn't go anywhere. Now, go on, baby. Go on. Mama's got to get on the train. And didn't go anywhere. So finally she goes, I said get. And the dog goes, arr, 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 goes running off. And Wigglesworth says, that's the way you have to do the devil, ma'am. Sometimes you have to get loud. Amen. Sometimes you have to tell the devil, I said get. Sometimes you have to speak to the mountain loudly. Amen. Do whatever you have to do. Amen. To get results. Amen. Praise God. Praise God. Let's go back to Mark chapter 5 and wrap it up right here. Verse 30. Of Mark chapter 5, it says, and Jesus, after the woman with the issue of blood, after she heard about Jesus, she said, if only I touch his clothes, I shall be made well. And then she came, and she pressed through the crowd, and she touched his garment, and she felt in her body that she was healed. And verse 30 says, and Jesus, immediately knowing in himself that power had gone out of him. Now, here's something interesting, too. Who initiated this healing? She did, didn't she? Jesus didn't. She initiated her healing. Now, we can, you know, if you take it back all the way, Jesus did because it's God's will. But in that case, in that instant, Jesus did not know she was around until she touched him. He's walking along. The crowd's thronging him. He's on his way to Jairus' house to raise Jairus' daughter from the dead. And that's where they're headed. And there's a crowd all around him. And all of a sudden, he senses healing virtue, healing power flow out of him. And he said, "What? Somebody's touched me." Up to that point, he was not aware that the woman was in the crowd. He was not aware that she was. And I said, well, he was Jesus. He was God. He was aware of everything. Well, he laid that aside. He operated as a man anointed by the Holy Spirit when he was on the earth. He laid aside his privileges as deity. He was in nature, he was God, but he operated by the anointing of the Holy Spirit. So he didn't, unless the Holy Spirit would tell him, he didn't know. And in this case, he didn't know she was around. In other words, she initiated her healing. And you can initiate your own healing. Amen. You don't have to wait for a healing service. You don't have to wait for some special manifestation. You can initiate your healing. Praise God. Amen. Amen. And so he said, it says, Jesus, knowing that power had gone out of him, turned around in the crowd and said, who touched my clothes? But his disciples said to him, you see the multitude thronging you, and you say, who touched me? And they were like, you know, well, about 1,000 people have, Jesus. And he looked around to see her who had done this thing. He said, no, you know, somebody's touched me in faith. A lot of people were touching him and nothing was happening, But she touched him with faith. Amen. Amen. But the woman, verse 33, but the woman, fearing and trembling, knowing what had happened to her, came and fell down before him and told him the whole truth. And he said to her, daughter, your faith has made you well. Go in peace and be healed of your affliction. Amen. You know, I remember Dad Hagin talking about one time, one of those first, I think it was one of the first times, not the very first time, but one of the early times that Jesus appeared to him. And I think this was the one that happened in 1952. And he talked to him. It's amazing, too, the times that Jesus appeared to him. The first time he appeared to him, he was preaching a tent revival. And it was a rainy, muddy, messy night. And very few people had come to, not very many more people than are in this service right here tonight. And Jesus appeared to him. Jesus chose to appear to him that night. Isn't that amazing? And then the second time Jesus appeared to him, he was staying in a pastor's home. He was preaching a meeting for this pastor and staying in his home. And they had had a service that night and come back to the pastor's house and were having some sandwiches. And they were just talking about the things of God and you know, talking about the scripture. And then the pastor's little daughter, it was time for her to go to bed. And she said, Daddy, would you, you know, pray with me? He always prayed with her and tucked her in bed at night. And so he said, well, let's just have Brother Hagin kneel down here. We'll just kneel down right here and pray, and then you can go into bed. And he said, we'll just have Brother Hagin kneel down. So they're kneeling down to pray a little prayer to send the girl off to bed. And Jesus appears to him and talks to him for an hour and a half. It's strange times that Jesus picks to appear to people, isn't it? So you just never know. You know, we think, okay, it's going to be when there's, you know, the building is full, there's 1,000 people, and it's a great worship service. And, you know, well, that could happen. But it could happen when everything's similar, you know, like nothing much is happening. Amen. But anyway, Jesus appeared to him and talked to him about some other things. And he said, Lord, he turned around to go. And he said, Lord, before you go, can I ask you something? He said, yes, you may. And he said, you know, he said, there's two messages that I preach from this scripture, the woman with the issue of blood. And he said, I sense in my spirit that the Holy Spirit's trying to get another message across to me. And Jesus said, well, you're correct about that. My spirit has endeavored to, you know, get that across to you. And you've up to this point, you've not picked it up. He said, tell you what I'll do. He said, while I'm appearing to you and talking to you here, he said, I'll give you this message. He says, get a piece of paper and get a pencil. And so he came out of the vision enough to ask the people to give me a piece of paper and a pencil. And he got right back in, shut his eyes. Jesus said, okay. Jesus is right back there again. When he shuts his eyes, Jesus is in front of him again. And he says, okay, write on your paper 1, 2, 3, and 4. So he's got his eyes shut, but he's writing. And he writes down 1, 2, 3, and 4. And he gives him the steps that is the book that's called How to Write Your Own Ticket with God. And so the steps are hear it, say it, receive it, and tell it. And so He gave him that right from this, right, the woman, the issue of blood, she heard, and then she said, and then she received it, and then the fourth step was she told it, all right? And so Jesus said to him in the vision, in that vision, step four is tell it. You know, he said it's different than saying it. Saying it is to release your faith, but tell it. You tell it after you've received so that others may hear and believe and be encouraged, all right? And so that's what this woman is doing in verse number 33. It says, the woman, fearing and trembling, knowing what had happened to her, came and fell down before him and told him the whole truth. And you know, I thought about that today. We would not know what happened. We would not have this account in the Bible unless she had done that. How do you think Mark found out about that to write it in his gospel? Think about that. You know, if the woman had not, you know, at that point, she told them everything that we read starting in verse 25. Well, the thing is, Lord, I've had this condition for 12 years. I've spent all my money. I've been to many doctors. I'm not getting any better, but I wasn't getting any better. I was only getting worse. And someone Someone came and told me about you and told me about what you were doing. I heard about you, and I decided to come. And I started to say, if only I may touch your clothes, I shall be made well. I started saying that, and then I got up, and I heard you were in town, and so I decided I'm going to get to Jesus, and I'm going to touch his clothes, and I'm going to be healed. And here I am, and I did, and I am. Glory to God. And that's how we know about it. And she told it. So that we can believe. She told it. And when Jesus told her daughter, your faith has made you well, then if her faith can make her well, then your faith can make you well. Amen? Yeah, but Jesus is not here. Oh, yes, he is. Hallelujah. His power is present everywhere now. And see, that woman, the woman, when she touched his clothes, she drew that power, that healing power out of him. It's like plugging into an electrical socket. You know, she did that with her faith. Well, the power of God is present everywhere now because Jesus said, it's more profitable to you that I go away. When he was on the earth, the only place, the only way you could tap into God's power was get to Jesus. He said, it's more profitable for you now that I go away. Why? Because when he went, he sent the Holy Spirit, and he's everywhere. He's everywhere. In fact, the Lord told Dad Hagin that too. He said, that power, healing power, is always present everywhere. It's always present everywhere. What we have to do is tap into it, and we tap into it by faith, by faith. Oral Roberts in his healing ministry talked about a point of contact. And we don't hear too much about that anymore, but we need to get that again. A point of contact. What is that? What is a point of contact? That's what the woman with the issue of blood did when she said, if I touch his clothes, I shall be whole. It's the moment where you release your faith. You know, a lot of times people are just so haphazard about it. Well, have you released your faith? Well, I think I have. I'm not sure. No, you should know. You should know. You should know. You should have a point of contact. You should have a point of contact. Whether it's the prayer that you pray, the declaration you make, or the action you take when you say, that's it. I believe it is done. I believe that I receive. If I touch his clothes, I shout for her. It was touching his clothes. So a point of contact. Having that point of contact. Praise God. Let's stand up and worship the Lord. Thank you, Lord. Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. If her faith made her whole, your faith can make you whole.